we call general or natural revelation. These revelations in man are not meant to bring salvation, but they're meant to prove guilt. At the end of verse 20, which we'll see in a moment, Paul says they are without excuse. In chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, based on everything we will learn in chapter 1, when we get to chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. This answers the question that many people ask. Well, what about those who never heard the gospel? Those who never heard the gospel are without excuse because they did not respond to God's general revelation. Our text today will reveal two things to us. And these two things, every person who has ever lived on planet Earth knows about God. Every person knows his eternal power and Godhead, shrunk down to us, for us to understand easily. This general revelation that is in man, this general revelation that has been revealed to man, knows that there is a supreme being. Everyone knows that. God has revealed these two things about himself to everyone. To the one who lives in the jungle. To the one who lives in the city. He has revealed himself this way to the rich and to the poor. He has revealed himself to the scientist in the library. He has revealed himself to the philosopher in the library, to the scientist in the laboratory. Can't read my own notes. He has revealed himself to the common person in the street. Every person who has ever lived knows this because God has revealed it to them. Our text will tell us that they are clearly seen to the eye. We live in a beautiful part of the world, and God is on full display to the eyes every time you take a ride. Our text tells us that they're clearly understood to the mind. People know that there is a God. If man responds properly to this general revelation, to this natural revelation, if man responds properly to that, God will further reveal himself to them through his Son and through his Word. But that's not the message for today. Once again, this revelation that we are seeing today only proves guilt. It cannot and does not save. Why? Because Paul is seeking to prove that because of man's suppression of the truth, Congressman Jerry Nadler, this Congress has no concern for the will of God, suppressing the truth that was just read. Because man suppresses the truth, he now worships the creation more than the Creator. And man worships himself. Humanity is left without excuse or without legal defense. And we must know this to aid in our evangelism and in our apologetics or our defending the truth. Notice with me in verse 19. God is revealed in man. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God. Because that which may be known of God. Friends, God is knowable. God wants to be known. Paul went so far to say in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. This answers the agnostic's dilemma. How many of you have witnessed to somebody and they said, no, I'm an agnostic? Okay? An agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known about the existence of God. There may be a God, but we just don't know about him. What is the what did the Bible just tell us? That God is known. So the agnostic is wrong. So when you are witnessing to an agnostic and they say God cannot be known, take them to Romans 1 and tell them you are wrong. The agnostic is wrong. Do you know him? My friends, do you know God? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. This word manifest means made plain or obvious or apparent. Friends, it is plain and obvious to everyone that there is a God. Plain and obvious. There's a God. Now again, this revelation does not save, and they might not have a full knowledge of who God is, but people have to look around and be aware that there is a God. The text says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has sovereignly planted evidence of his existence in the very nature of man by reason. And that means how we think and how we understand and how we process things. And moral law, to know the difference between right or wrong. If there is no God who is righteous and just and holy, then there is no right or wrong. For God hath showed it unto them. S-H-E-W-E-D is the old spelling of the modern word showed. And it means to render apparent, to make visible. Friends, I say this on the authority of the Word of God. You have to be taught to be an atheist. No one comes to that conclusion on their own. Or God is a liar. And we have people, young people, coming out of public schools and colleges and universities denying the existence of God because that's what they've been taught. They did not come to that conclusion by themselves. Now, this verse sets for us, friends, in apologetics, what is an argument, a defense for the existence of God and proof of mankind's guilt. Remember, before somebody gets saved, they got to get lost. They've got to realize they're guilty before a holy and righteous God. And in verse 19, we have what is called, in apologetics, the ontological argument. What does that mean? It simply means that since we have a concept of God, he must exist. Where did this concept come from? From God. The example of that is tribal worship and sacrifice. Again, remember, this knowledge does not save you. It proves your guilt. But tribal people of the past worshipped something that was greater than themselves and tried to appease it. Everyone worships something. And the second is the anthropological argument. Since we are personal beings with self-awareness, rationale, and moral determination, There must be a creator who is as well. Now, friends, I believe that this is what the Bible says is the image of God in man. Our God is a moral person, and he has self-awareness and rationale and moral determination. Therefore, his creation does. This is how God, according to verse 19, how God has revealed himself in man. Every person born on planet Earth, inside their soul, knows there is a God. So when you talk to the hardened atheist, tell him, her, to their face, you're going against your own conscience. You know there's a God. But verse 20 tells us that God is revealed to man. Okay? God is revealed in man to our reason. Now God is revealed to man. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. Hebrews 11:27. At the end of the verse, the Bible says that Moses was able, seeing him who is invisible. Jesus tells us in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. So here in the natural realm, we can't physically see God. No man has seen God, but the Son has declared him. God is invisible to the eye, but that does not mean he does not exist. The creation all around you proves that there is a God. And we started the service by reading Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, night unto night. There's no language barrier with God's creation. Everyone knows. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen to the eye. People ask me, show me God and I will believe. Friends, God has been showing himself. You just don't want to see because you continue to suppress the truth. There is evidence of God all around us to be clearly seen. And for us who know the Lord as our Savior, this past week, God specifically answered a specific prayer request for a specific person to be saved. And he was saved. Don't tell me there is no God. Being understood by the things that are made. So not only is it clear to the eye, it's clear to the mind. Being understood by the things that are made. No one, not only can we look around and see, but we understand. You understand that you were made. You understand that you were created. You know that. Everybody knows that. They don't like it, but they know it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, the fact that he is the creator and the sustainer of this world, even his eternal power and Godhead, or his divine nature. Everyone knows the truth that there is a supreme being. That's why The very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, needs no explanation to anyone. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It means exactly what it says. And because of this witness that God Himself has placed in man and given to man, no one needs that verse explained to them. God, the supreme being, created heavens and the earth. He made you. He made me. Remember, Paul is the prosecutor. And he's seeking to prove our guilt. So he says at the end of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for man's unbelief. None. Zero. Nada. Because God has revealed Himself to your sight and your reason, and you do not respond to that, you are without excuse. You have no cloak for your unrighteousness. John MacArthur's commentary says on this passage, God holds all people responsible for their refusal to acknowledge what He has shown them of Himself in creation. And as this chapter develops, we're going to see that people who suppress this truth also love to have other people suppress this truth and also love to teach other people this suppressed truth. And that's what's going on out there. Remember, friends, all of this is, it's all the result, the fact that Rachel Levine, a man who has become a woman, is going to be our assistant secretary of health, and the fact of the Equality Act, that is all, that is just symptoms of the greater problem that man is rejected God's truth. We get off on all that, and we get down this rabbit trail, and we fight this, we fight that, we fight this. The battles for truth. All of humanity has received a clear witness about the existence and character of God, but they have and continue to suppress true revelation. This verse also sets for us an apologetic, and there's two more arguments here that prove the existence of God. And the third one is the cosmological argument. There must be an adequate cause of all things. A universe requires a universe maker, a creator. Now, on our wall, in our home, in our living room, hangs a cuckoo clock that came from Germany. And that cuckoo clock is a wonderful thing. It has a chain, two chains with weights on it. And that chain will stop in exactly 24 hours if it's not wound again. Exactly 24 hours. The gears in there are all set to work, you know, for 24 hours. That little arm goes back and forth, tick-tock, tick-tock, 24 hours. Now, there's another weight that has a chain and a weight on it that every half hour it cuckoos, and on the hour it cuckoos the hour, okay? And every hour, cuckoo, cuckoo, this little bird comes out, and the door opens, and these two guys are going like this, chopping wood. But somehow there was an explosion in my house, and that cuckoo clock appeared on my wall. Foolishness. A simple cuckoo clock, which is complex, we would say, Pastor, you're out of your mind. But our children are being taught in school that there was a huge explosion millions and millions of years ago, and here we are. Isn't our world more complex than a cuckoo clock? Aren't you more complex than a cuckoo clock? And I would be sent to the cuckoo farm if I believed that about my clock. But we elevate people to positions of honor because they believe in evolution. Why? Because it takes God out of the equation. The fourth argument, the teleological argument, there must be an intelligent cause because there is design, order, and purpose in our universe. Explosions. I love explosions. Fireworks. And that tannerite that you can't really use anymore, but you know, explosions, but they cause destruction. It doesn't cause order. And in our universe, there is order. And I think it is wonderful that we are getting pictures from Mars. We're not going to see any Martians. Don't worry about that. But it's wonderful because God's creation is marvelous. And he has put, because he is a creator, he has put creativity within man to be able to do these things and send pictures back. I know you conspiracy theory folks are going to come up to me and say it's all smokes and mirrors, but don't. This is how God has revealed himself to man. So friends, man is without excuse. He must stand before God silent. God has never, ever left himself without a witness. Creation around us, conscience within us, testify to the fact that there is a supreme being. God is known in every age, in every place, to every eye, to every heart. Look at John chapter 1, verse 9. John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that comes into the world knows there is a God. If there truly is, friends, no God, then God is lying. And we know that's not true. Although this general revelation was never meant to save us. It was meant to make us seek God further, to want more light. But sadly, man has and continues to suppress the truth of God's revelation. But you say, I'm an atheist. People come up to us and say, I'm an atheist. And I say to you, no, you're not an atheist. You're a liar and you're a fool. The Bible says in 1 John 2:22 that anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, who is God, is a liar. God said it. I didn't say it. And in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, and in Psalm chapter 53, verse 1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you do not believe God, you are professing, you are a self-professed liar and fool. Friends, do not be afraid to say that back to someone who who goes against their conscience, against creation, and against the word of God to call them a liar, because that's what they are. And maybe that's why they still are, because no one has ever told them, you're a liar. You're a fool. If there truly is no God, as you say you believe, why are you trying so hard to get rid of him? If he's not there, why bother? Why are you trying so hard to get rid of someone who doesn't exist? Because you are living proof that Romans 1:18 is true. You are suppressing the truth. You don't want to let God out, if you will, from under the cover, because then you will be accountable to him. You're guilty, and you know it. And friends, let them chew on that a while. Because that's what that revelation is meant to do, prove their guilt. Don't, you know, I've heard people, well, that's what you believe. That's not what I believe. That's not the answer. You know in your heart and mind that there is a God. You can see it all around you. And you use the very breath that God has given you to declare that God does not exist. You use your very breath to blaspheme God. You poor blind fool. Friends, the truth of God's eternal power and Godhead is revealed in you and to you. And because of this revelation, ignorance of God is willful sin. And if you're here today not believing in God or not being sure that God exists, you're lying against your conscience and your sight. And you're accusing God of being a liar, and I wouldn't want to be you on Judgment Day, for you will answer.